Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Monday, January 27th, 2025. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you had a great week and a great weekend. I'm recording this on Monday afternoon, mainly because there were some wrestling shows, actually a lot of wrestling shows on Saturday night, and then a GCW show on Sunday afternoon. So I had to catch up on everything, and also I'll be at WWE Raw live in Atlanta tonight. So if you happen to hear this and you happen to be at the show and you happen to see me, I'll probably be walking around, hanging out in a Cody Rhodes hoodie. So, you know, not that I'll be the only one in a Cody Rhodes hoodie or Cody Rhodes merchandise at this show, obviously, as he is now the most popular superstar in the WWE. But I will be there repping Cody Rhodes and hanging out there at State Farm Arena in Atlanta, Georgia for Raw tonight. So I'm very much looking forward to that. Raw on Netflix should be a really good time. And with that all said, let's just go through the topics and jump into today's episode. On this edition of the Weekender, we have results for GCW live in London, MLW Reloaded, TWE Everything Has Changed, HOG Final Warning, Freelance No Ring Time for the Week. We got some big news out of AML Wrestling that included JBL making an appearance, which we'll talk about. Also have spoilers for Ring of Honor, TNA, and some predictions for the WWE Royal Rumble to wrap today's episode up. So good mix of results, spoilers, and predictions. Of course, I will try to put the timestamps for the spoilers in the description below right here on FightfulSelect.com if you want to remain spoiler-free. And with that said, let's just get into the first topic and set of results we got today, which is Game Changer Wrestling. We got GCW live in London. This show took place yesterday at the time of this recording on January 26th, 2025. This show is from the Electric Ballroom in London, England. The show was like an early afternoon show. I think it started around like 10 a.m. Eastern time and ran for a few hours over on Triller TV Plus. So if you want to check the show out, you can go sign up for the Triller TV Plus package. I'm not endorsed or sponsored to tell you to go sign up for that. But if you are a fan of GCW, that is the best option to watch their shows. I mean, all their live shows are on Triller TV Plus. All the on-demand, you know, previous shows, their whole catalog, right there available on Triller TV Plus as well. And not just that, also today, as I mentioned, HOG, Hog, House of Glory, whatever you want to call it, that's also available on Triller TV Plus, and we'll get to those results. You're just here in a little bit. So that said, jump into the first results right here for GCW Live in London. Show started off with the new GCW Tag Team Champions, the Garbage Daddies, Alec Price and Cole Radrick. They defend and retain their title over the Lycos Gym team of Kid Lycos and Kid Lycos 2. If you want to know more about Cole Radrick's title win at GCW Hammerstein, aka The People versus GCW, that show happened last weekend, and we did have Cole on the show on the spotlight on Fightful Overbooked. Me and Jeremy had him on live this past Thursday morning, so if you want to hear from the new champ and his thoughts on winning that title and winning it with Alec Price and the whole night, you know, he talked about the Alley Catch injury and FU winning the world title. Also, Cole was involved in the main event because he had a shot, or a chance, I should say, to cash in his brass ring on either FU or Mance Warner and decided against it. And Cole gives an explanation as to why he didn't cash in his brass ring at Hammerstein Ballroom. So, you know, a lot of good stuff going on for Cole. And like I said, if you want to know more about that whole win, the whole trajectory of him, you know, him and Alec chasing the championships and everything, we obviously covered a lot of it right here on the Weekender. But if you want to hear from the man himself, the Ratty Daddy, you can check out the Spotlight on Fightful. That is Spotlight on Fightful Overbooked. And that is every Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. And the time will be changing after this Thursday. So starting February 6th, we'll be switching to 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. So it'll become an evening show rather than a morning show, which I'm really looking forward to. I've been wanting that for a while, and now it lines up with Jeremy's schedule much better now as well. So it works for everybody involved. And yeah, I'm looking forward to the time change. But if you want to catch us in the morning one last time, it's going to be this Thursday, 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. And once again, switching to 6:30 p.m. Eastern time going forward, starting at the beginning of February. Speaking of interviews, by the way, we had a long-form interview. Like, Cole jumped on with us for like probably 20 or so minutes live on Thursday. But we had an hour-long interview at the end of the show with Kevin Blackwood, the West Coast Pro World Champion. So if you want to know more about Kevin, he doesn't do very many interviews. So, you know, really good opportunity to learn more about him and hear from the man himself, Kevin Blackwood, the Aesthetic Crippler. If you want to check that out, that was also on the most recent episode of The Spotlight. Also, the plan for this week, and things could always change, you know, cards subject to change, but the plan for this week's interview is the new Glory Pro World Champion, a.k.a. the Crown of Glory Champion, Cody Lane. Coco is going to be joining us this Thursday for the final, you know, morning episode of The Spotlight. So figured I'd get all those plugs out there right now since I was reminded of that, because we're talking about the Ratty Daddy right here on the show and he was just on. So moving back into the actual results, Garbage Daddy's defeat, Lake Ghost Gym. The finish here is the Garbage Disposal by Ratty Daddy and Cole Radrick. Or sorry, Ratty Daddy and Alec Price, I should say, for the 1-2-3 to retain their championships. Of course, the Garbage Disposal, if you're not familiar, is a Doomsday Double Stomp combination. After that, we had Sydney Akeem over Angel Blanc. The finish of this one was Blanc going for a springboard off the ropes. Sydney avoids it by doing like a matrix, kind of backbend matrix style, and then follows up with the final act, his double back handspring cutter for the 1-2-3. Sydney Akeem remains completely undefeated in Game Changer Wrestling. After that, we had Maki Ito over Man Like Dereese. The finish of this one was Dereese going for a power slam. Maki Ito slips out of the power slam and does a mousetrap pin and sticks Man Like Dereese on the canvas for the 3 count. After that, we had Luke Jacobs over Manders. This is a matchup I always love seeing. This matchup, I've seen it actually just in recent memory, probably 4 or 5 times. I mean, for various promotions, and these guys always beat the hell out of each other. I feel like Luke Jacobs always gets the better of Manders too. I can't remember. I mean, maybe Manders has won before in this rivalry, but I feel like it's usually Luke Jacobs coming out ahead. But they're a great matchup for one another because they're very similar in a lot of ways, and different in ways as well, of course. But like, it's hard to describe, but their styles are both super hard hitting, and it's just one of those like fight forever type rivalries that I could see going on for years and years and years between these two all over the world. And Luke Jacobs, you know, more UK based, but also has done stuff in the United States as well. Very very talented wrestler. And he's been around for, like, according to Cage Match, 7 years. And, you know, I've known of him for quite a while. But, you know, just recently he's been more and more on my radar, mainly through the matches he's had with Manders. The finish of this one, you know, after multiple clotheslines from both guys and multiple kickouts and some kickouts at ones and some fire-up spots. I mean, these guys beat the hell out of each other. Towards the end, we have Manders hitting a clothesline onto Luke, and Luke kicks out at one. Luke hits multiple headbutts and then a northern lariat, the kneeling version, where Manders is down on one knee. Luke hits him with a lariat to the back of the head, and then instead of pinning him, which is normally in this rivalry, I've seen Luke Jacobs beat Manders with that northern lariat. Instead, just to seal the deal in this one, he locks on a rear naked choke, and Manders gives the finger, the bird, on his way out, and he taps out. Even though he doesn't want to, he does it defiantly, but he knows he had nowhere to go. And Luke Jacobs gets the win by submission. After that, we had Leon Slater over Jimmy Lloyd. And this is, of course, a different effing boy Jimmy Lloyd, the OG version of Jimmy Lloyd, who is no longer a broski, no longer under the orders of Matt Cardona and Deathmatch Royalty. Of course, at GCW Hammerstein, Jimmy Lloyd finally got his revenge, and he pinned Matt Cardona 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring. That said, Leon Slater gets the win in this one. Now, I'm not necessarily mad about that, because Leon Slater is a super talented performer. Obviously, he's with TNA Wrestling. He's still super young. I'm going to look, but I'm going to just guess he's like 20 still. According to Cage Match, yep, 20 years old. And, you know, and this was also in the UK, where he has, you know, a very, very solid fan base. I mean, he's, I can't say enough good things about Leon Slater. The only downside of this is Jimmy Lloyd just finally, you know, got revenge on Cardona, and it looked like he was in for like a big singles push going forward, and then immediately lost his first match since turning on Cardona. So that was a little confusing booking wise, but I'm not mad that like Leon Slater won, because I expect Leon Slater to win big matches, especially being signed to TNA, as I mentioned, and this being in the UK. But it was a little confusing that Jimmy Lloyd didn't have a different opponent and, like, win. I figured he'd go on a winning streak after leaving Cardona. That was just my personal, you know, assumption, I guess. But you know what happens when you assume? That all said, the finish of this one was Leon Slater hitting his really just sweet-looking, it always looks badass, his Swanton 450 off the top rope gets the win. After that, we had a hardcore match where Joey Janela defeated Big Effin' Joe. This was an awesome match. Just I can't even do justice trying to explain how this one went. I mean, they went through multiple doors. There was a table that just wouldn't break no matter what they did. Eventually it broke after the match. Janela put himself through it, but I'll get to that in a second. But there was a ton of thumbtacks in this one. At one point, they're throwing thumbtacks in each other's faces. Big F and Joe, as a matter of fact, used thumbtacks to break up a pinfall at one point. Like, Janela was on top of him, pinning him, and Joe threw tacks in his face from, you know, underneath him to get out of the pin. They were rolling around in these tacks. I mean, it was a ton of thumbtacks. Big F and Joe, I've obviously seen him wrestle many times, but his attire was always funny to me because he wrestles in, like, a white... It's like a white dress shirt with the sleeves cut off and a tie, but he basically looks like he's wearing whitey tighties out there, just white trunks that look like whitey tighties or like a diaper pretty much, and he doesn't wear knee pads, so like it all just his look is very strange to me, but he's very over. And, you know, these matches are badass. I don't think I've ever seen him have, like, an uninteresting, boring match ever. So, this was a great matchup between these two. Once again, I can't do it justice because they did so much stuff in this one. You just got to kind of watch it for yourself. The finish of this one was Janela tries to put Joe through a table, and the table won't break. So, Janela goes up to the top rope and hits a double stomp off of the top rope to try to put him through the table. And just... basically just one set of legs buckle, so like the table doesn't break, but the table is down on like a slant now. So Janela hits him with a package pile driver onto what's, you know, left of the table. Table still doesn't break all the way, but, you know, the job is done. Janela gets the 1-2-3. After the match, Janela just runs and dives shoulder first through the table because the fans wanted to see that thing finally break, and Janela eventually broke it after the match, but that was a badass match between those two, and Janela gets the win. After that, we had the JCW world title on the line. This is, of course, the Jersey Championship Wrestling world title. Masha Slamovich defends and retains over Megan Bain. This match was a draw. The finish here was Slamovich going up to the top and hitting a superplex onto Bain, but when both hit the mat, they both do a double pin, and both shoulders are on the mat for both wrestlers. So they both get the 1-2-3, and because it's a draw, Masha Slamovich retains her championship. After the match, Slamovich essentially says it's too bad that they can't have another 5 minutes to decide a winner here, but they do plant the seeds for a rematch, which I would expect to happen in the near future between these two of the best women wrestlers in the entire world. Not just of the, you know, female gender, you know, I know I said women, but honestly, two of the best just wrestlers out there, in my opinion, regardless of gender. But if you're looking specifically at women's wrestling and you want to find some of the best women in the world, two of them are right here, in my opinion. Once again, Slamovich retains, but is by draw, double pin. After that, we had a no disqualification match. Mance Warner defeats Drew Parker. Mance Warner, of course, the former GCW World Champion, since he lost the title to Effie at Hammerstein Ballroom. The finish of this one was... I'll kind of explain the ending sequence. So Drew Parker hits a DVD through a door in the corner and then follows up with a Rikishi driver. Mance Warner is able to kick out at two. Parker then hits a running Meteora and then goes up to the top rope, goes for a Swanton Bomb, which he finishes a lot of opponents with. But Mance Warner gets his knees up. And once they both get to their feet, Parker kind of like runs at Warner, but Mance throws the referee towards Parker and then kicks Parker in the dick from behind, does a schoolboy roll up, pins him 1-2-3, Mancer defeats Drew Parker. In the main event of the show, we had this really being a dream match. I mean, if you're familiar with both these wrestlers, you know, this has been a highly anticipated matchup for quite a long time, finally going down here. We had the GCW World Championship on the line. Effie defends and retains over Cara Noir. The finish here, I'll do my best to explain. So Cara has this egg in his hand that we are all assuming has like a substance or something in it, right? Like a Cadbury egg. And Carr's got this egg in their hand, and like, but Effie's doing all these moves to Kara, but Kara's not dropping the egg. So like, Effie hits a blockbuster off the top, hits a spear. Kara still doesn't let go of the egg. Effie eventually gets the egg out of Kara's hand, and then Effie realizes the egg is fake. It's a rubber egg. As this is happening, Kara has like a real egg full of this just nasty yellow goo, and Kara pours it in their mouth and then baby birds it. That's the best way I can describe it. Literally from mouth to mouth, like baby bird style, just this nasty yellow substance from Kara into the mouth of Effie. But then Effie baby birds it back into Kara's mouth and then hits Kara with a pump kick, Sack Rider, 1-2-3. Effie wins. And, you know, the finish was absolutely disgusting, I'm not gonna lie. Like, that kind of stuff is not for me. Like, watching, it doesn't matter who it is or what it is. Like, you know, when I see any kind of, like, liquid or anything going from one person's mouth into someone else's mouth, and especially, like, back into the first person's mouth, that super grosses me out. But that was obviously the point. And also, if you've never seen Kara's entrance in particular, it's one of those things where, like, the entrance alone really draws you in. Like, if you've never seen Kara wrestle before, the entrance alone, you're like, you understand a lot about what they're about, if that makes sense. Very flamboyant entrance, you know, has like the classical type music, and Kara is like kind of doing motions along with the music, but the crowd is reacting to absolutely everything. Really good stuff here between these two, and once again, Effie retains the championship in the main event, so he is still your GCW World Champion. Moving on, got results for MLW. This is Major League Wrestling's Reloaded 2025. This show is available completely for free on the MLW YouTube channel, and this was a taped event. The show was actually taped on January 11th, but aired on the MLW YouTube channel on January 25th. This was from the NYTEX Sports Center in North Richland Hills, Texas. And these are the results. This show is building up MLW Super Fight, which is going to be happening in Atlanta on February 8th, I believe. So just a few weeks away, that'll be at Center Stage in Atlanta, Georgia. So this shows one of the like big final stopping points before that next big live event for MLW. The opening match we had, and I'm going to do my best to pronounce the names how they're supposed to be pronounced, because I want to say Neon and Virus, but I try to do justice and, you know, try to be respectful. So like, I believe it's technically Neon and Virus. Okay. But Neon and Virus is how it's spelled. Neon and Virus is the correct pronunciation, in at least to my knowledge. Before the match actually starts, by the way, there was a segment with the Filthy Bros, Tom Lawler, and new MLW World Champion Matt Riddle. They're basically talking about the future plans for the Filthy Bros, but they wind up getting attacked by Contra, like the whole group, and Minoru Suzuki comes out and stuff. That's what actually opened the show. As far as the first match of the show, we had Neon defeat Virus. The finish here was an inverted top rope senton, which I don't know if, I mean, I've seen, like, inverted top rope 450s before, and I'm sure I've seen this before in the past, but it's been a very long time since I have, and it's basically the best way I can describe it. Neon goes up to the top rope and is, like, looking towards the crowd and goes backwards, hits a senton, 1-2-3. After that, we had Akamura over Dark Panther. The finish of this one was a running cozy cutter, Akamura's version of a running diamond cutter, RKO, whatever you want to call it, ace crusher, and gets the 1-2-3. After that, we had Bobby Fish over Ariel Dominguez. The finish here was Bobby Fish, and this was a quick match, this was essentially a squash. Bobby Fish hits an exploder suplex, fakes like he's going to go for the pin, and then locks in a heel hook, forcing Ariel to tap out. So Bobby Fish gets the win by submission. After that, we had the Andersons. This was a Texas Tornado match. We had the Andersons, Brock and C.W. Anderson, over Paul London and Paul Walter Hauser. I believe Paul London trained Paul Walter Hauser, if I'm not mistaken. So there is a history and tie-in between those two guys. And it's cool seeing Paul Walter Hauser being involved in this. You know, I've talked about that before, how, you know, sometimes, you know, celebrities don't really take this seriously, and sometimes they take it super seriously. Like, for instance, Logan Paul is a great example of, you know, a celebrity who's transitioned into pro wrestling and is doing a fantastic job, in my opinion. You know, you can tell that Paul Walter Hauser is a huge wrestling fan every time you see him. He tries very hard. He works really hard on, like, kind of his character and the way he comes across to the fans. He works really hard on improving his in-ring work. It's very obvious that he takes this very seriously, and he cares about wrestling a lot. And I know he loves all types of wrestling. I've seen him talk on Twitter or X, about how he's a fan of all wrestling, and he wants wrestling fans to be less divisive and less territorial and stuff. And I totally agree with him when it comes to that. As far as this match goes, the Andersons get the win. Basically, what winds up happening is Alex Kane and Mr. Thomas come out, and they wind up attacking BRG and fighting off members of the Rogue Horsemen. But as this is happening, Bobby Fish from the outside pulls Paul Walter Hauser out of the ring, and that sets up Brock Anderson to hit a DDT in the ring on Paul London, pins London 1-2-3. The Andersons get the win in the Tornado Tag Team match. After that, we had Persephone over Alejandra Quintanilla. The finish of this one was a powerbomb followed up by a springboard splash from the apron to the inside of the ring. Unfortunately, Persephone did kind of slip, but did ultimately land the move on top of Alejandra. So, no big deal, you know, just noticed the slip, but it didn't, like, ruin the match. It was still the finish. 1-2-3, Persephone gets the win. After that, we had Filthy Tom Lawler over Minoru Suzuki. The finish here was, before the finish, we see backstage Satoshi Kojima, the former MLW World Heavyweight Champion, is backstage taking out Contra soldiers. He, like, attacks him with a chair backstage to make sure that nobody gets involved in this match. And while that's happening on the big screen backstage, we see Filthy Tom up top. I call it the top rope H-bomb. I've talked about that before. It's very similar to, if you're familiar with the UFC 100 fight between Dan Henderson and Michael Bisping, when Dan Henderson lands his right hand, he calls that move the H-bomb. But then there's, like, the flying H-bomb, which is the grounded version when, like, basically, for all intents and purposes, if you don't know what I'm talking about, Filthy Tom Lawler goes up to the top rope, and he dives off the top and lands with, like, a forearm to the head of Suzuki, who's laying on the mat already. It's a great finishing move, especially considering Filthy Tom's legitimate history in the Ultimate Fighting Championships. So this was great stuff. Filthy Tom gets the win over Suzuki. And the main event of the show, the MLW World Middleweight title was on the line in a best 2-out-of-3 falls match. We had Mystico defend and retain over Barbaro Carvanario. The finish of this one, or the three falls, Barbaro gets the first win over Mystico by hitting a middle rope, like a running middle rope splash, like off the, like it's a, it was like a middle rope springboard splash, is the best way I can describe it, to get the first win. So it's like, you know, the champion Mystico is already down 1-0. Mystico then gets the second fall by hitting a running destroyer, and then Mystico gets the third fall by La Mystico doing his around the world into the Fujiwara armbar and forces Carvanario to tap out. So Mystico is still the reigning defending MLW World Middleweight Champion to close up MLW Reloaded 2025. And once again, this show being taped, you know, not as big as, like, their live events, you know, not the same type of huge feel as, like, every time that they go live on their MLW YouTube channel, but this was made more so as, like, a stop gap, like a pit stop, really, heading into MLW Super Fight a few weeks from now in February. Once again, that'll be in Atlanta, Georgia. Moving on, got results for TWE. This is TWE. Everything Has Changed. Show took place from Red Bank, Tennessee, in the world-famous TWE Arena. This is available on independentwrestling.tv. I am endorsed, sponsored, whatever you want to call it, to give you a promo code for that. If you want to use code FIGHTTALK, that's FIGHTTALK, all as one word, no spaces, put that in the promo code spot of IWTV, and just lets the platform know that I sent you their way. I appreciate when y'all use that code very much. This show was from January 25th, and as I mentioned, available, it was live on IWTV, but also available on demand right now. If you go check out the platform, once again, use code FIGHTTALK. I would appreciate that. As far as, you know, before I actually get into the results, before I do that, there's something I need to address real quick that is very important and needs to be addressed. So there was an Action Wrestling show the night before this. Action Wrestling and TWE, obviously very hand-in-hand with one another, brother, sister companies, whatever you want to call them. A lot of the same people wrestle for both promotions, a lot of the same people backstage, so on and so forth. So I figured now would be a time to just touch on this briefly. It came out yesterday that Action Wrestling made an announcement. They'd no longer be booking Kevin Ryan. Kevin Ryan is somebody that I have covered for years, whether it be here on The Weekender or over on The Spotlight. He's somebody who's been a part of a lot of Action Wrestling, TWE events, and that kind of stuff. It turns out that Kevin Ryan was up to some not good stuff. I will kind of leave it at that and leave it to y'all. I mean, the stuff is out there. There are messages and screenshots, and it's one of those things where, like, obviously you have to cut ties with Kevin. This is bad stuff. I'm not condoning any of this stuff that he was a part of. I think it was very smart for Action Wrestling to find out, do their research, and cut ties 1,000,000%. The reason that I knew it had to have been, like, especially serious is because it wasn't just, like, one or two people, like, saying something about it. It was, like, Action Wrestling made the announcement, and then I looked at who had, like, retweeted and liked the tweet, and a lot of the people were people from, you know, his own groups and his own tag teams. So, like, they were also coming out and saying, like, I did not know this was going on, and I want nothing to do with this guy or anything he's involved with. So I just want to first say, you know, see ya to Kevin Ryan. I mean, obviously he's done, but also it's really important, in my opinion, to point out that just because somebody you might know or you might be associated with is up to some really scummy stuff, it doesn't mean that that person or their friends or their associates also are involved. And the reason that I make this so clear and, you know, why I want to bring this up at all is because, you know, I don't want this to negatively affect people that were in the good hand, people that were part of the, you know, someone like Chris Kronk, who's been associated with him for a very long time as a tag team. You know, anyone like Shug D or Alex Kane or these people who have been associated with him, they've all come out and been like, I wasn't involved in this. And, you know, they're supporting Action Wrestling's decision to not have anything to do with him going forward. So that's the main things I wanted to get out there and bring that up before we talked about TWE, because Kevin Ryan, somebody who's very closely associated to this company and to, you know, Southeast Wrestling, especially on the indie scene. And, you know, so first off, Kevin Ryan gone, done. You know, if all this stuff is true and there are screenshots and stuff, if this is all true, like the stuff that's been coming out, I doubt we'll ever see or hear from Kevin Ryan ever again when it comes to wrestling, and nor should we. But also on top of that, please don't villainize people who he may have been associated with. That there's, you know, it's one of those things, right? And this is like a whole other conversation in itself, but, you know, you never know. I mean, like, for all I know, there could be people that I associated with all the time that are doing really scummy stuff behind the scenes. I just would never know. You know what I mean? And obviously, sometimes some people know some stuff about something or other, but at the end of the day, like, I can't just assume that just because someone was tag teaming with this guy or somebody, you know, worked some shows with him and had, you know, a stable with him or whatever, that they were also involved in this stuff. Like, it is not guilty by association, in my opinion. And people associated with him have tried to make that really clear. I've seen Chris Kronk, for instance, who's been a tag team partner of his for a very, very long time. He was basically saying, look, yeah, I've tag teamed with a guy, but we weren't, like, super close outside of wrestling. Like, you know, we worked, essentially, like, working together. Like, if someone did something terrible like this at, like, my shoot job, I would have no idea, but like I work with them every day, but I have no idea what they're doing in their off time or their personal life. You know what I mean? So just wanted to throw that out there. You know, see ya to Kevin Ryan. See ya, wouldn't want to be ya. And obviously, if there are like victims when it comes to that, I hope that they get their, I hope that Kevin gets his comeuppance, I guess, is at the end of the day, because it's a very disappointing situation for the wrestling world, for the Southeast scene, especially. Disappointing for me as somebody who's covered his work and has praised him for years and years. Disappointed for anyone who was involved with him, promotions that were booking him, so on and so forth. So yeah, I wanted to just say that right off the top, because once again, Action Wrestling is very closely tied to TWE, and we're about to talk about TWE. So let's talk some TWE. This is Everything Has Changed. First match we have here on IWTV is Conversion Therapy, the team of Anakin Murphy and the Luminary, defending their tag team titles over KOBK, the team of Hardway Keeter and Sean Campbell. The finish here was both Anakin Murphy and the Luminary back-to-back hitting running kicks in the corner onto Hardway Keeter and getting the pin on him for the 1-2-3 to retain. After that, we had the TWE title tournament first round match. Oh, I forgot to mention, of course, I should have mentioned this at the top. The longtime reigning TWE world champion, Darian Bengtson, recently had to vacate his championship. And I don't know the full details of why he had to do that. I believe it was like a illness or something personal that he had to step away from wrestling. So they're going into the show to crown a new world champion. They have a mini tournament. It's basically two matches with the winners going on to the finals and then crowning a champion based off of that. So the first round of the tournament, we had Shug D over Jameson Shook. Finish here throughout the match, Shug had worked Jameson's shoulder. Jameson runs shoulder first into the corner turnbuckle going after Shug and hurts his shoulder even worse. That leads to Shug locking in a Fujiwara armbar and then transitioning it into a Rings of Saturn, and then also starts hitting elbows to the body while he has the Rings of Saturn locked in. I thought that was a really nice touch. And Jameson passes out, so the referee has to stop the match. And once again, just throwing it out there, this is the last thing I'm going to mention when it comes to all this stuff. Shug D, somebody who was heavily associated with Kevin Ryan. Shug D, I'm not going to stop being a fan of Shug D just because he was in a stable with this guy. I can't assume that Shug D had any idea this stuff was going on. So I'm going to continue to support Shug D, and you know, I'm continuing to support people who I have no reason to stop supporting unless they give me a reason to stop supporting them, if that makes sense. I know I'm getting kind of passionate over this because I hate seeing this stuff happen. I absolutely hate it, especially when it's people that I've been endorsing and promoting for years. Makes me look stupid. It makes everyone involved look stupid for being a part of it. I hate that. And I don't want any of this backlash to fall on someone like Shug D, who's been working his ass off for decades, and he shouldn't have anything to do with this. Anyway, Shug D defeats Jameson Shook. After that, we had the Action World Championship on the line. Tim Bosby defends and retains over Country Boy Coots. The finish of this one was Coots is up on the top rope. Bosby runs up the ropes, hits a belly-to-belly suplex, and then locks on an ankle lock, forcing Coots to tap out. Bosby retains the Action Championship. After that, we have another TWE title tournament first-round match. Big Dave defeats Aaron Wade. A nice wrinkle in this one is Brett Eisen, who has been not seen in TWE for a while. I believe he hasn't been seen since the War Games match against Covenant of the Goat, the big KOBK Covenant of the Goat showdown in War Games. We had Brett Eisen return to TWE, and Coleman, who is like the trainee, the understudy of Aaron Wade, always in like the karate gear. Basically, Brett Eisen is like holding Coleman ringside so that he can't get involved in this match. And while Aaron Wade's distracted by looking at Brett Eisen, he turns around right into the Spirit of 99, which is Big Dave's version of a lariat, gets the win 1-2-3. So we now know that the title match later in the show is going to be Shug D versus Big Dave to crown a new champion. Since Brett Eisen's already out there and he wants a fight, he gets in the ring and we get a match. Brett Eisen basically an open challenge. Brett Eisen defeats Noah Clover. The finish here was kind of like a version of the go to sleep, followed up by a sliding elbow for the 1-2-3. Brett Eisen is celebrating after the match, and Lobo Okami comes out of nowhere and brutally attacks Brett, which I'm looking forward to that rivalry between those two, because I think they're going to have a banger match when that one goes down. After that, we had a no-DQ tag team match where the Coven of the Goat, the team of Tank and Jane Newman, defeat the Goons, the team of Peyton and Lizzie Blair. The finish here was a Russian leg sweep by Tank and Psycho Knee by Newman combination for the 1-2-3. Next, we had a match. We had Hunter Drake over Sigrid, Daughter of Tyr by DQ. Essentially, what happens here is, like, Hunter doesn't even, like, touch Sigrid. Like just basically running around the ring, avoiding anything. And outside the ring, the tag team partner of Sigrid, Will Steele, is on the outside. Hunter shoves Will Steele, and Will Steele retaliates by hitting Drake in the face with an elbow. The referee sees this happen, and they disqualify Sigrid. So Hunter Drake wins by disqualification and then celebrates around the arena like he just accomplished something huge by getting this win. After that, we had the Gig City title on the line. Casey Owens defends and retains over Finesse. This was a time limit draw, so Owens retains, but would have anyway. It was kind of strange. So, like, Casey Owens locks in a crossface chicken wing onto Finesse as time runs out. So, like, Owens had the win in the bag either way and was going to retain the title either way, but technically won by time limit draw. So you could tell that Owens wasn't happy about that, wanted a definitive victory, and I'd imagine that'll lead to another rematch between these two in the near future. After that, we had the main event of the show, the TWE title tournament, with the new championship up on the line. We had Big Dave defeat Shug D to become the new champion. Finish here was Big Dave hitting a spinning lariat, followed up by a short arm lariat. He keeps wrist control to pull Shug D up from the mat, and Shug counters with a headbutt, and Big Dave comes right back with the Spirit of 99 lariat. 1-2-3, Big Dave is the new champion. Right after the match, as Big Dave is celebrating, and Big Dave, of course, also a member of KOBK, so this was like a big feel-good moment for KOBK, who couldn't win the tag titles at the beginning of the show, but did see the return of, Brett Eisen a little bit later in the show, although he did get attacked by Lobo. And then, Moe's, of course, member of KOBK, he's on commentary during this, so it's like this big feel-good moment for KOBK that Big Dave has won the TWE title for what we thought was ending the show. But out of nowhere, during the celebration, Action Wrestling champion Tib Bosby hits the ring and hits multiple F5s onto Big Dave. Dylan Hales, who is the manager for Bosby and is on his last night of being a matchmaker for TWE, makes his last assignment as matchmaker right there on the spot in the middle of the ring. As Big Dave is laid out because of the F5s, he's just on the mat, he's out cold. Dylan Hales announces that Aaron Wade is going to get an immediate title shot against Big Dave. Aaron Wade walks out to the ring, puts one foot on Big Dave, pins him with one foot, 1-2-3. Aaron Wade is your new TWE champion, and that's how the show ends. We have new champion Aaron Wade, and of course, Dylan Hales and storyline no longer a part of TWE management and matchmaking, and essentially the star maker, with his new star, Tim Bosby, Action Wrestling Champion. Moving on, got results for HOG, Hog, House of Glory, whatever you want to call it. We have a HOG Final Warning. This show took place on January 25th from the NYC Arena in New York City, New York. It's available on Triller TV Plus as a part of their monthly package. Results are as follows. We had the Hog tag team titles on the line. The Cold-Blooded Killers, the team of Raheem Royal and Jay Armani, defend and retain over the main event team of Jay Lyon and Midas Black by disqualification. Best way I can describe the finish here, Midas Black and Jay Armani are playing tug-of-war with a chair, and Midas pulls the chair from Jay's hands, but in the process swings back and accidentally hits the referee with the chair. Referee goes down. The main event hit the grand finale, their 3D X Factor, onto Armani and get the pin. A new ref comes out and counts three, so it looks like the main event have won the championships. But after this, the original referee, he's back up, and he calls for disqualification because Midas hit him with the chair. So technically, the Cold-Blooded Killers retained by disqualification. There's a rematch set between these two teams, with the stipulation being that if Main Event loses the next time, they have to break up as a tag team. And they've been teasing that for a while, like dissension, some problems between the Main Event for a while now. So I'm interested to see if they ultimately come through here and win the titles back and all is good going forward, or if they wind up having to disband as a team because they can't get the job done against the Cold-Blooded Killers. After that, we had Fumi Nakuda over Casey Navarro. Fumi, if you don't know, I don't know how many matches he's actually had. I remember him, he wrestled/fought Matt Riddle for HOG not too long ago. Only has like 5 wrestling matches in his career, and they're all pretty short matches for the most part. But if you don't know much about them, they're like a legit MMA fighter. They come out with MMA championship title belts and stuff. This match was less than 3 minutes long. It was basically Navarro avoiding, engaging with Fumi at all. And then Fumi lands a one-punch knockout. The referee calls it, referee decision by KO. Fumi gets the win. After that, we had the HOG Cruiserweight title on the line. Darren Richardson defends and retains over Montekia. The finish of this one was Richardson had worked the knee throughout the match. Hits a spear to the knee, followed up by a half crab, and the pain forces Montekia to pass out. So Richardson gets the win and retains the title by technical submission. After that, we had the HOG Cruiserweight title number one contendership in a 6-way scramble match. So, of course, the winner gets a shot at the Cruiserweight title. We had Jay Bougie over Dante Griffin, Jared Diaz, JJ Doze, Jody Ara, and Joey Silver. The finish of this one was, there was like a Tower of Doom from like most of the people involved in the match. After that happens, Bougie hits an Oss Cutter and gets the win. After that, we had Idris Jackson with Dr. Hillary P. Wisdom in the corner over Rhino. Yes, the Rhino, the original ECW Rhino that is in the TNA Hall of Fame. That Rhino. The finish of this one was Idris is running at Rhino to hit a splash in the corner, but accidentally hits the ref. When the ref goes down, Idris wraps a chain around his fist and hits a running uppercut onto Rhino, pins him for the 1-2-3. Next, we had Ricky Starks over Charles Mason. During this match, it was interesting because the crowd is chanting Raw on Netflix. Raw on Netflix. So, I mean, obviously, everyone's expecting Ricky Starks to debut in the WWE sometime soon, whenever he can get out of his deal with AEW. That whole situation just seems like such a mess between him and that company. So hopefully they get that figured out soon. But it was wild because, for the indie crowd to be chanting for Raw in 2025 is such a flip from what the indie crowd sounded like just a few years ago. Like, you would never be cheering for WWE Raw at an indie show like this years ago. But I think it's also a testament to how good WWE and Raw and the whole Netflix presentation has been, in my opinion. I think it's been beneficial for the entire wrestling industry that they've been so successful and the show's been so good under the, leadership of current WWE champion Cody Rhodes, of course. But that said, the finish of this one, Santana comes out because Charles Mason is trying to use a chair. He winds up grabbing the chair from Mason, and that allows the opening for Ricky Starks to hit the Rochambeau onto Charles Mason, gets the win 1-2-3. And the main event of the show, we had the HOG heavyweight title on the line. As I just mentioned, Mike Santana comes back out. He defends and retains his title over Kenta. The finish of this one was Kenta hitting a Recycho knee. Santana kicks out at 2. Kenta goes for a go to sleep, but Santana slides out of it off of his shoulders. Santana then blocks another GTS attempt, and they wind up trading strikes back and forth. Santana goes for spin the block, his 360 clothesline, but Kenta ducks it. Kenta hits 2 spinning back fists, and then Santana lands with spin the block for the 1-2-3. After the match, both guys put each other over in the ring and on the microphone to close the show. Moving on, got results for Freelance. There's no ring time for the week. Show took place on January 24th live on independentwrestling.tv. Use code FIGHTTALK. This is from the Logan Square Auditorium in Chicago, Illinois, and these are the results. Show started off with a six-way scramble match where Trevor Outlaw defeats Alfredo Abatir, Angel Escalera, Eye Candy Elliott, Isaias Velasquez, and Trent Wrigley. Of course, Trevor Outlaw was out there getting help throughout the match from Frank the Clown. The finish was Frank the Clown distracting the ref, and Trevor Outlaw hits a dick kick from behind, follows up with a pedigree for the 1-2-3 to win the scramble. After that, we had Regan Lydale over Darren Corbin. The finish here is the Peacemaker, which is Lydale's version of a pump handle slam to get the 1-2-3. After that, we had Shazza McKenzie over Lainey Luck. Shazza hits, I always forget what she called it, the split stunner by Shazza gets the win over Lainey. I think it's called a Shaztastic or something like that. I always forget the name. After that, we had the Freelance Legacy title on the line. Cota Hernandez defends and retains over Sabin Gage. During the finish of this one, Sabin is trying to use a chair, but the referee grabs it from them. As this is happening, Sabin then grabs handcuffs to try to use on Cota, but Cota grabs the handcuffs away from Sabin. Cota then actually handcuffs Sabin and then does a La Mastral cradle, pins them 1-2-3 to retain the championships. So basically, Gage's cheating backfires and Cota gets the win. After that, we had Devon Monroe over Blair Onyx. The finish of this one was the Taste the Rainbow, which is Monroe's version of like a springboard X Factor for the 1-2-3. Next, we had Shane Mercer over Cody Lane. As I mentioned, Cody Lane should be appearing in the upcoming Spotlight interview with me and Jeremy over on Overbooked. Shane Mercer gets the win over Cody Lane. Basically, what winds up happening here is Cody's up on the top rope. Mercer shoves the referee into the ropes, so Cody crotches the top turnbuckle. Shane Mercer climbs up to the middle rope and hits the moonsault and battery for the 1-2-3. After that, Bang and Matthews, the former Bang Bros, August Matthews and Davey Bang, they defeat the Best Bros, the team of Balianaki and May Segura. Or Saruga, sorry. The finish of this one was the Spears Tower, the formerly known as Ride the Bus, the assist spear. Then Matthews winds up putting Bang up on the top rope. Bang hits a top rope 450 and gets the 1-2-3. And the main event of the show, the Freelance World title on the line, Alfonso Gonzalez defends and retains over Danhausen. Towards the end of the match, Danhausen does the stuff you expect Danhausen to do, pours the teeth into Alfonso's mouth, hits him with the boot to the face, and the teeth fly all over the place. Danhausen hits a go-to-sleephausen, but Alfonso falls to the outside of the ring. Throughout the match, Alfonso had been working the knee of Danhausen, and it plays a factor at the end of the match because Danhausen goes to fetch Alfonso from outside of the ring, throws him into the ring, and once he slides in, Alfonso locks in a small package inside cradle and gets the 1-2-3 to retain their Freelance World Championship. All right, moving on, we got some Ring of Honor spoilers. So these are going to be ROH TV taping spoilers. I'm going to put the description, or the timestamp rather, in the description. So if you want to remain spoiler free, just look at that. And these are going to be Ring of Honor TV taping spoilers from January 25th from Daly's Place in Jacksonville, Florida. And I'm just going to go ahead and just give you the quick results for everything I got right here. These are courtesy of cagematch.net. Spoiler alert. We got Griff Garrison and Preston Vance with Cole Carter over Eli Thesis and Gabriel Arrows, the Perea. We had Lee Johnson with EJ Anduka over John Davis. Good to see John Davis as a part of this. I'd like to see him a part of Ring of Honor more often. That guy, super talented. He's been around forever, and I feel like he's been off of our radar for a while. We used to cover a lot more of his matches right here on the Weekender. We had Sammy Guevara over Mansoor, who had Mason Madden in their corner. The ROH Women's World title on the line in a proving ground match. Athena defends and retains over Carolina Cruz, although I do not believe, because it was a proving ground match, I shouldn't say defends and retains. Athena is the champion. if Carolina Cruz would have defeated Athena, she would get a world championship shot, but because Athena retained, that will not happen for Carolina. But nonetheless, Athena gets the win in the Proving Ground match. We got Blake Christian over Adam Priest. I bet that match was absolutely incredible. I love both those guys, so it's good to see that that one went down. I'll go out of my way to definitely watch that when it drops. We got the ROH World Women's TV title on the line. Red Velvet defends and retains over Robin Renegade. And the main event of the show, in a four-way tag team match, we have the Outrunners, the team of Turbo Floyd and Truth Magnum, over the Grizzled Young Veterans, team of James Drake and Zach Gibson, the Dark Order combination of Alex Reynolds and Evil Uno, the Premier Athletes of Arya Daivari and Tony Nese, who had Josh Woods and Mark Sterling in their corner. So, you know, interesting results here. I think there's going to be a lot of good matches in this one, on these tapings. So I'm looking forward to these. Like I said, I'm especially looking forward to Blake Christian versus Adam Priest. But that four-way tag team match was probably a banger. A lot of good tag teams in there. Good to see the Outrunners win. You know, based on the reaction, they definitely should be getting a bigger push, in my opinion. All right, moving on. Got spoilers for TNA Impact. So spoiler alert, putting the timestamps in there right now. So you can remain spoiler-free on TNA if you want to. These are the spoilers from the tapings on January 23rd. I'm reading them via Fightful.com, but they were provided by Andrew C. That's Andrew S-E-E. The spoilers are as follows. Spoiler alert. We had explosion matches taped on the 23rd. So we had Jake Something and... Well, actually, these were all from the 23rd, as I mentioned. Explosion, we have Jake Something over Laredo Kid and Jason Hotch. Also Explosion, we have Steve Macklin over John Skyler. We had... The rest of these, I believe, are going to be for Impact. So we have Brian Myers over Leon Slater. Nick Nemeth cuts a promo. He's interrupted by Ryan Nemeth. And then First Class, the team of Casey Navarro and AJ Francis interrupt. We have Cora Jade over Hyon. It says Jade continues to attack Hyon after the match. Zaya Brookside makes the save. Masha Slamovich also comes out. Sami Callihan and Mance Warner brawl in the crowd into the ring. Oh, by the way, yeah, Mance Warner has recently debuted in TNA. Of course, the real-life boyfriend of Seth DeLander, who's also back in TNA. Seth DeLander distracts Sami Callihan, allowing Mance Warner to get the upper hand. We had Josh Alexander and Eric Young versus Sinner and Saint. Looks like it ends with Young turning on Alexander, so probably a no contest with Young making the heel turn. We had Wes Lee over Ace Austin, which is interesting. You figure Ace Austin would be getting a bigger push at the moment, but, you know, Wesley's great as well. I bet that match was awesome. We have Tyson DuPont and Tyreek Igwe attacking Ace Austin after the match. Of course, those guys are part of NXT. The Rascals, Trey Miguel and Zachary Wentz, make the save. And then the main event of the tapings here, we have the Nemeths, Ryan and Nick Nemeth, over First Class, the team of AJ Francis and Casey Navarro. So, some interesting stuff there. I forgot to mention, and I'll bring it up right now. We'll say... So let me get these... Sorry, thinking out loud here. I meant to talk about this before the spoilers, but because it's kind of related to TNA, obviously one of the big TNA storylines right now is JBL and his involvement in, like, you know, him essentially helping Joe Hendry win the championship recently, and, like, who's he helping and who isn't he helping, and that kind of stuff. It is definitely worth mentioning that over the weekend, JBL showed up at an indie show. He showed up at AML Wrestling, their 10th anniversary show. There was a match between Rahan and Taeus and Psycho Boy Fodder, who also had Angelina Love, you know, in their corner. We're big fans of Psycho Love here on the weekend or in the spotlight. I've become essentially pretty decent friends, like, for what it's worth, with both Fodder and Love, kind of through interviewing them and stuff like that. They're really nice people, and they've been super cool to me. So it's really cool to see something this big happen for Fodder on this show. Essentially, what winds up happening is Angelina Love's in the ring. Looks like she's gonna attack Rahan with a kendo stick, and out of nowhere, JBL comes out and clotheslines Rahan, allowing Fodder to get the win, and that happened on the AML Wrestling 10th Anniversary show. So definitely worth bringing that up and mentioning that right here on the Weekender as well. JBL is popping up absolutely everywhere. And the last thing we're going to do real quick before we get out of here is some quick Royal Rumble predictions. There's probably more here, and especially since I'm going to Raw tonight, I'll have a better idea of like some stuff I may miss here. But as of right now, I just see four matches listed for the show. We have the Men's Rumble, the Women's Rumble, the World Title, and DIY versus Motor City Machine Guns. So I'll give some quick predictions here for what I've got listed in front of me. Obviously, the full list of participants for the Rumbles aren't going to be announced yet because, you know, we want surprises and that kind of stuff. I'm going to say the Motor City Machine Guns win back the World Tag Team titles in 2 out of 3 falls match over DIY. I'm going to say Cody Rhodes defends and retains the WWE Undisputed Championship over Kevin Owens in the ladder match. I think it's really cool that they're going to have both the Undisputed and Winged Eagle title belts above the ring for this one. Really, really looking forward to that. But I mean, in my personal opinion, obviously I'm biased, but even if I wasn't, I do not think it would be smart to take the title off Cody Rhodes as close to WrestleMania, especially considering he's like front and center in all the WrestleMania promotional stuff with the championship belt. So I fully expect Cody Rhodes to retain over Kevin Owens. As far as the Rumble matches, I'm going to take two of the more obvious options, but I think they make sense. For the Women's Rumble, I'm going to take Charlotte Flair. I think she takes on Tiffany Stratton at WrestleMania. And for the Men's Rumble, I'm going to take John Cena, and I think he takes on Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Please follow me on X at @FightTalk_. Please hit the like button here on FightfulSelect.com. Please use code FightTalk at independentwrestling.tv, and please watch the Spotlight and Fightful. As I mentioned earlier, the last morning episode is going to be this Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. And then starting in February, it'll always be at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, all on Fightful Overbooked. So that's going to do it. If you see me at Raw tonight in Atlanta, please say hi. And I've been Steven Jensen. Until next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.